Good morning. I think we're ready to start our session on national news and developments. News that is so hot, we had to save it for the last day of the conference. A few housekeeping details here first. I want to remind everybody that the silent auction next door in the vendor area ends at 11 o'clock. We will be out of here at 10:45. That will leave you 15 minutes to juice your bids, stand by your prized possessions, and hopefully win some good bargains. There are some extraordinary bargains over there, I must say. And I want to remind you also that the books at the Oxford Ashgate table, all the new books on that table, are included in the silent auction. So don't forget to look over there as well. Speaking of the vendor area, it closes this afternoon, so you know, if you're going to do any business with the vendors, please do it early as you can. Vendors are important to the Arts Conference. We hope you support them. They provide a lot of support for our conference, make it much more comfortable and enjoyable for everybody. So please support our vendors. I want to remind also everybody that there are a couple people who are tweeting the conference, and you are welcome to follow them or to join them. The tag is ARSC2012, and we look forward to developing that new medium of communication with everyone. ARSC2012. We begin this morning with what do we begin with today? Oh, the report on the Library of Congress, so forth. The National Preservation Act of 2000 directed the National Recording Preservation Board to report on the state of sound recording preservation in America. The resulting study was published in 2010. Based on these findings, the Library of Congress has developed a national plan for recorded sound preservation to be published this year. We're fortunate to have two of the plan's principals with us this morning. Jean Deanna has worked at the Library of Congress for over 25 years as the head of the processing section, as a recorded sound reference librarian, and as a producer for the library's American Memory Project. Since 2005, he served as the head of the recorded sound section, where he plans, manages, and directs the work of 40 staff members at the Packard campus for audiovisual conservation. Brenda Nelson Strauss has served as head of collections of the Archives of African American Music and Culture at Indiana University since 2002. She's written countless reviews as founder and editor of Black Grooves, and she's published articles and given presentations on topics ranging from 19th century orchestral music to gospel music to recorded sound preservation and administration. Brenda is a past president of ARSC and a member of the National Recording Preservation Board. She's been assisting with the National Recorded Sound Preservation Plan for the past 3 years. So please welcome Brenda Nelson Strauss and Jean Deanna.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm going to start and be as brief as I can to give Brenda as much time as I can. The National Recording Preservation Plan, as David mentioned, was prepared under the authority of the National Recording Preservation Act of 2000. That act directed the Library of Congress, quote, to undertake studies and investigations of sound recording preservation activities and recommend solutions to improve these practices. In the interest of time, I'm not going to do a whole lot of reflection back on all of the great work that's gone into laying the foundation for the plan and where we are with the plan today. Instead, I will refer you, if you're interested or if you want to find out more about that, to the National Recording Preservation Board website, where you can find the complete text of the Act of 2000, as well as links to all of the CLEAR studies that were commissioned by the Preservation Board as foundation documents and activities leading up to and to inform this plan. I do want to just mention, again, what David mentioned, the August 2010 release of really the first national-level study of recorded sound preservation in the United States. It was published, this title, The State of Recorded Sound Preservation in the United States, A National Legacy at Risk, by our members Rob Bamberger and Sam Berlowski, published by the Council of Library and Information Resources in 2010. While that study was being prepared for publication, the library initiated a project under the direction of Brenda Nelson Strauss to develop a national plan encompassing specific recommendations in four major areas to address the challenges revealed in the 2010 study. Well, I'm happy to report that a draft of the national plan document has now been completed. It's undergoing the standard vetting review process at the library, and we expect it to be passed on for review and approval by the Librarian of Congress himself. I just want to take a quick moment to acknowledge and express the gratitude of the Library of Congress for the incredible work that Brenda Nelson Strauss did in getting us to this point. It's very much appreciated.
I might add that it was really the individual members of the task force, including some that are in this room right now, that did much of the writing and the brainstorming. And so could those people stand up, members of task forces that are actually in the room? So a hand for these people as well.
So the plan's recommendations for implementing a coordinated preservation effort fall into four interrelated categories, as I said. They're preservation infrastructure, preservation strategies, access challenges, and long-term national strategies for preservation and access. Some of these recommendations can be achieved in the near future. Some are long-term initiatives which can take a generation. Some of the work is underway already, much of it by ARSC members, people in this room today. We want the plan to support that work, and we want the plan to marshal everyone interested and involved, to get involved with the recommendations of the plan. So I just want to go through the four categories and give you an idea of the kinds of recommendations that are in there. It's a big document. I don't want to go through it in too much detail. I can't, and we hopefully will have it out to you fairly soon. Under the category of preservation infrastructure, there are recommendations to expand physical infrastructure necessary to store recorded sound collections in the proper environment in order to slow down the deterioration process. There are also recommendations for developing digital reformatting and storage capabilities. If they're going to be sufficient to meet the preservation challenge, they'll only be achieved through a coordinated effort and efforts to expand existing facilities, make them more efficient, and to develop new ones. Part of developing a preservation infrastructure is developing an educational infrastructure. So the plan calls for education programs to be created to train specialists to work in these facilities. There's a recommendation that I mentioned in the technical committee meeting for an audio preservation resource directory website hosted by the National Recording Preservation Board at the Packard campus for audiovisual conservation. This would be to support continuing education in the field, educational initiatives, keep professionals informed of latest developments in the field, increase public awareness about recording history and preservation challenges. The plan also calls for us to maintain and develop a coordinated research agenda that will support the development of new technologies in order to meet some of the field's most difficult challenges. Under preservation strategies, there are recommendations to support collection managers with new tools, implementation models, and efficient workflows. Recommendations that hardware and software developers develop standardized metadata schema and open source preservation software in their systems. In calling for the establishment of a national sound recording preservation program, Congress also directed the librarian to carry out activities, quote, promoting accessibility and public awareness of sound recordings. Preserved recordings can benefit the public only if they're made available for listening. The removal of impediments
technological, institutional, and legal to broaden access is going to create additional daunting challenges for the national preservation effort. The plan identifies the audio field's most important access problems and offers recommendations for surmounting them. So under the access heading are recommendations that relate to bibliographic access and control, as well as copyright. For example, there's a recommendation for a national discography based on the work, the great work being done at the University of California, Santa Barbara, as well as by the ARS Discographical Committee. There's also a recommendation for a directory of recorded sound collections and for the creation of a task force under the Library of Congress to develop best practices for audio cataloging. For copyright legislation reform, we're asking that to enact federal copyright protection to sound recordings produced prior to February 15, 1972, supporting the Copyright Office's recent decision on that. This would create a legal framework for libraries and archives to copy and disseminate orphan works, and for revising Section 108 of the U.S. copyright law to provide archives and libraries with crucial exemptions to provide access and make copies. Finally, under the long-term preservation and access strategies category, there are recommendations to expand the Library of Congress Recording Preservation Board's activities and responsibilities, and also a recommendation to form an advisory executive leadership committee on recorded sound comprised of top executives from recording companies, heads of sound archives, to ensure that a commitment to assist the Library of Congress in implementing recommendations in this plan will continue throughout the years it will take to achieve the goals of a national recording preservation program. Now I'm going to turn this over to Brenda, who's going to talk more about some of the specific recommendations that seem to have the most implications for ARSC members and the ARSC as an organization. Brenda?
Thank you. So my role today is to be more of the plan cheerleader and to try to whet your appetite for some of these recommendations, and hopefully you will, you know, buy into them and help initiate them. Yesterday in the technical committee's presentation, Chris Lesinic made a comment that I think was really applicable to this situation. He said, "We have a lot of great ideas, but how many have we actually done?" And therefore, you know, therein lies the great challenges of a plan of this scope and magnitude. You know, how are we really going to implement these recommendations? As you all know, there have been quite a few studies that have been published in the last 10 or 15 years by different organizations that have set forth recommendations, and most of them have languished. We don't want this to happen to the national plan. So, you know, this can't just be a bunch of great ideas. We really have to find ways to implement them. And obviously, this broad range of recommendations can't be accomplished without the buy-in of a lot of different organizations. And so that's not just restricted to ARSC, but includes organizations such as AES, MLA, Society of American Archivists, NARIS, with coordination provided by the NRPB and also the National Recording Preservation Foundation, which is just being set up and we hope will be in a position to provide financial support to some of these recommendations and offer preservation grants. So this is the time when you should all be jumping up and saying, how can ARSC help accomplish all of these great initiatives? And how do we coordinate this plan? This is really going to be our task in the next 6 months or so, you know, is to figure out what are going to be the short-term goals, the midterm goals, and then the very long-range goals. And as you may have noticed, those of you that have the handout, and I'm sorry, I think we've run out at this point, but we can get it to you. If you look at the handout, you'll notice that a lot of these initiatives really kind of fit in with things that our committees are already doing, such as, you know, the Education and Training Committee, the Technical Committee, Cataloging Committee, the Discography Committee. So if you're a committee chair or a committee member and you think your committee's floating without direction, hey, here are some great things that, you can latch onto and help us accomplish. And in fact, you know, it's been really encouraging to see that throughout the conference, there have been quite a few sessions that actually, you know, touch on areas of these plan, of the plan, and I feel that we're already moving some of these forward. And paying strict attention to time, you know, all I'm going to do is touch upon a few things in the plan where ARSC is specifically mentioned. Now, I was telling Jean that I think initially ARSC was mentioned many more times, and that was one of the struggles, and I think one of the things that delayed the plan is saying, well, we can't just put up a bunch of recommendations without giving any indication of how they might be accomplished. You know, obviously LC can't do everything, the NRPB can't do everything, so we're trying to spread the load and offer suggestions of recommendations that fit within certain organizations. So because our time is very limited, I'm just going to touch upon, you know, a very few things. Again, just to get everybody thinking about the plan, hopefully get you excited about the plan. So for instance, there's a large section on educational initiatives, such as establishing university-based degree programs in audio archiving and preservation, and establishing more internships along those lines. But we also talk about continuing education in general, and making more continuing education programs for audio engineers, archivists, curators, and librarians. In order to achieve the broadest possible outreach, we're looking to do more web-based workshops, university continuing education programs, and distance learning. So I was very pleased to see that our own Education and Training Committee launched its first online workshop to great success. Everything worked smoothly, and so I think we're already on our way to assisting with that goal, and hopefully we can do more online workshops of both short and long-term duration to move this forward. Another thing that's going to be real important for the plan is an audio preservation resource directory. And we see that as a collaborative online resource that would be hosted by the NRPB and the Library of Congress for disseminating knowledge and best practices in the field of recorded sound preservation, to raise awareness of the issue among the general public, and to provide a central portal where the information can be collected and distributed. And we see this as a portal that has various sections, including one devoted to education, a recording history page, a collection management's page, or I should say section, a public access section, and also, very importantly, a fundraising section. And so this massive portal, which I hope will start developing soon, is something that ARSC could definitely assist with. Another recommendation is developing new technologies for audio preservation. We've heard from the IPI people at this conference about their research, and we're shortly going to hear from Fenella French about research at the Library of Congress. But this is another area where committees, especially the technical committee, could provide assistance, not just in helping to enact some of these things, but also simply to articulate what the research needs are that we need to involve the scientific community in. Okay. Few more minutes. Documenting legacy technologies, another very important issue, which I've also heard people mention during this conference. We see this as a section that could have three different components. One could be creating a national directory of obsolete equipment. Tim Fabrizio might have to give up his oxytophone. No, just kidding. Creating perhaps a digital repository of manual and schematic, something that's already been started at Culpeper and could be enlarged upon. But something closer to the ARSC membership is to initiate a program to videotape interviews and demonstrations by senior audio engineers and those of you that have this incredible expertise for transferring various formats. We want to make sure that that expertise is captured and available to others. A guide to audio preservation, which is more of a basic handbook. This is something that was discussed at an ARS conference a number of years ago, and some of us participated in a workshop and came up with ideas of what should be in a basic handbook, but again, you know, it just didn't quite get the forward thrust and wasn't initiated. But we see that as a key component for people who have audiovisual materials in their collections but have no expertise, so a basic manual that they can consult as I consult my time, okay? Oh, another very big issue for ARSC, appraising audio collections. There are now several appraisal tools, and I think all of them have been developed by ARSC members. So, one of the recommendation calls for kind of pulling those appraisal tools together, making them available on this central portal, and also providing an evaluation of them in terms of, you know, which types of collections might be most applicable to which types of tools, and also developing and maintaining a list of experts who could help conduct appraisals at different institutions, because we see appraising audiovisual materials in collections as one of the key components that must take place right away if people are going to be able to enact preservation measures in a timely manner. And time, as I say, timely manner, time is running out. Public-private partnerships is another central several key recommendations actually pertaining to public-private partnerships, but we see this as something that can involve institutional members as well as private collectors and commercial entities. And, you know, some of the things we thought we could do would be to have profiles of model public-private partnerships on this central web a portal, and also sample partnership terms of agreement that represent a range of possible relationships. And I think this is very important. In fact, just in the few days that I've been here, my own archive has been contacted by two private entities. One is a magazine, and the other is a religious organization that have audiovisual materials. They're not, you know, necessarily willing to donate those or release them completely, but are very interested in forming partnerships. So it's these type of partnerships we're looking at to ensure that things are preserved that are currently outside institutions. I'm going to skip over the things that pertain to the technical committee, which Jean has touched on a little bit, which involve things like preservation workflows, metadata standards, best practices for creating and preserving born digital audio files, and touch on maybe a last couple of things. I think one of the big forward-looking recommendations is creating a national discography, which was actually a newer recommendation that crept in towards the end. I think it's a great idea. It would perhaps build on work that's being done by David Soibert at UCSB. The Victor discography is nearing completion, and they already have plans to expand to some other record labels. So, you know, perhaps in the shorter term, we could deal with acoustic labels and create a national discography, which is something I think is very interesting. And I think I'm going to end with this one, creating a national directory of recorded sound collections. Now, I was rather amused, well, not really, a couple weeks ago, somebody on the ARSC list was reminiscing about one of the earliest ARSC conferences, and about how one of the initial goals was to create a directory of recorded sound collections. Well, guess what? You know, we don't have one. We still don't even have the basic list on the ARSC website about member organizations and what they collect. So I see this as, you know, something that could be accomplished in the short term through the work of ARSC. And I think I'm going to stop there because we're on a very strict time schedule. We have maybe 4 minutes?
At most.
At most.
So we have time for one question. And please keep it under 4 minutes. If there are no questions, Gene and Brenda will be here. You can follow up with them after.
I just want to make sure that my boss at the Packard campus also is acknowledged for the work he's done on this project and led us through this incredible effort. Pat Lockney, could you please stand up?
Thanks, Brenda. Thanks, Gene. Some exciting stuff ahead. And it will take generations, I think. Yeah.